Welcome to Turn In Your Hymnal To. I'm Rex Bridges, and today we'll be looking into the background story of The 90 and 9. The 90 and 9, 1868. If an quote-unquote inner voice had not prompted Ira D. Sankey to compose an impromptu tune for a new poem on the spur of the moment, one of the most popular gospel songs would never have been born. In fact, Sankey had never seen the words his music made world famous until a couple of days before he spontaneously picked out the tune as he sat at his portable organ before several thousand people at Free Assembly Hall, Edinburgh, Scotland, one noonday in 1874. He and Dwight L. Moody were en route from Glasgow to Edinburgh after a strenuous 4 months of meetings in the former city to hold a three-day campaign there at the urgent invitation of the Ministerial Association. Just before boarding the train, Sankey bought a weekly newspaper for one penny, little dreaming that it would be the best penny he ever spent. Looking through the paper for some news of his homeland, he found nothing American but a sermon by Henry Ward Beecher. In disgust, he threw the paper down, only to pick it up a while later to pass the time by reading the advertisements. Then it was that he discovered a little piece of poetry in a corner of one column that he had carelessly overlooked during his first reading. He read it, liked it, and decided at once it would make an effective song if someone set it to music. When he read it to Mr. Moody, the famous lay preacher nodded a polite reply, as he was too busily engrossed in reading some letters from his family in the United States to hear a word his equally famous song leader had read. Anyway, Sankey clipped the poem and put it in his musical scrapbook. At the noonday service, the second day of the special series in Edinburgh, Moody preached on The Good Shepherd. Following his message, Dr. Horatius Bonner, author of I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say and other popular hymns, said a few words, thrilling the audience with his eloquence. When he sat down, Moody turned to his song leader and asked, "Have you a solo appropriate for this subject with which to close the service?" Sankey confessed that he had absolutely nothing in mind. It was precisely at this moment that the quote-unquote inner voice said, "Sankey, sing the hymn you found on the train." He replied, "That is impossible. There is no music for it." But the voice insisted. Sankey protested, "I can possibly bluff my way through the first stanza, but what of the rest?" To which the voice replied, "You take care of the first and leave the rest to me." As calmly as if he had sung it 1,000 times, he placed the little piece of newspaper on the organ in front of him, lifted up his heart in a brief prayer, and laid his hands on the keyboard, striking a chord in A flat. Half speaking and half singing, he completed the first stanza. There were 90 and 9 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. The vast congregation listened in a spirit of hushed expectancy as he sang the 5 stanzas of this magnificent new song. When the echoes from the final notes of the last line, "Rejoice, I have found my sheep," died away, Moody walked over to the organ and said, with tears in his eyes, "Where did you get that hymn?" Sankey replied, "That is the hymn I read to you yesterday on the train." While the song has not been altered in so much as a note from that day to this, the 90 and 9 became the most famous tune Sankey ever composed, and the hymn is more popular today than it was when he first played it over 3/4 of a century ago.
Yeah. The shepherd made answer, "This sheep of mine has wandered away from me. And over the road, it may be rough and bare, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep.
But none of the ransom ever knew how dear
This has been Rex Bridges, reading from Living Stories of Famous Hymns by Ernest K. Emurian. Copyright 1955 by Baker Bookhouse Company. Used by permission of Baker Bookhouse Company.